Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Talk Live, and as always, you're invited to take control of the airwaves. You can talk about whatever is on your mind, or you can talk about whatever we're going to be discussing. It's up to you. It is a Wednesday night edition, which means it's Free Talk Live, and I've got new overlays and fancy graphics and stuff that I want to use for the video chats here on Wednesday nights, but I've got to get the time to actually sit down and compile them all together, because one of the things I didn't know, I mean, if you've ever used Fiverr, it's really easy. If you get someone who speaks the same language as you, this is like the third time I've used it. The first time, it wasn't that great. And you can watch all of this, by the way, at video.freetalklive.com. Anyway, I'm skipping ahead of myself. With you tonight, it's Aria,
Nikki,
and Bonnie.
So I got on Fiverr, and I attempted to order some new overlays specifically for She Talk Live that were made in the theme of Free Talk Live, using the same sort of layout and fonts and all of that stuff. But I am not good with graphic design, and I'm too busy to spend 10 hours doing something that can take some graphic design person 10 minutes to do. So, obviously, hire someone to do it. 10 or 15 minute job, right? $10 or $15 job. Fine. However, the first person I got to do this was in Pakistan. And I reached out to her, so it's entirely my fault that I didn't check to see if there would be a language barrier. But I attempted to communicate what I wanted, and she understood, for the most part, what I wanted.
She got close.
Yes, she did, but I wasn't trying to create new logos and images for Free Talk Live.
Mm.
But I was. But just for one specific episode of Free Talk Live. And it's really hard to convey that through Google Translate, which is what I think was going on here. So I wasn't trying to change, but she did a really good job. And if you look at our S-Posting group on Facebook, you can see some of the design examples that she gave us. And they're really good. I like it. There's some weirdness going on with the fingernails there, because the logo for Free Talk Live is a hand gripping a microphone.
Yeah.
Maybe she used AI.
A phone. I don't think she did, because, no, they look demonic. Mm. They look like they are razor sharp nails.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're claws is what they are. And I don't know why she chose that particular avenue, but whatever. So anyway, I went on there and I found someone who actually natively speaks English and I communicated with them what they want. And I've got to sit down and actually do that, because when you order one of these overlays, you don't get just the complete thing that you go on, you know, Steam Overlays or Stream Overlays, whatever it is, .com or TwitchOverlays.com or what Stream Elements is the word I'm thinking of. You don't just go there and plug it in and you're done. No, it gives you like 50 different pieces and you sort of put it together yourself.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. And that's better because it allows it to be more modular, and I have more control over where exactly. You just use image layers to say, I want this image on top of this one, and then it's really cool, but I have to actually sit down to do it, and that's difficult when I'm under the time constraints I'm under. So I'm looking forward to doing that at some point. I'm not going to do it tonight because I'm just not going to. It's been a long day. Wednesdays and Tuesdays always are, and I just don't want to. So anyway, in the news today, I've got an interesting story that I want to get to about Bitcoin mining, but it's not Bitcoin mining in the way that you think. It really just shows how stupid people are, because this company was arguing that their Bitcoin miners don't produce any carbon emissions, right? Like, they're saying Bitcoin mining is completely green. There's no carbon emissions whatsoever. And when challenged on this, they got a CO2 detector,
mm-hmm.
and they set it next to their computer. And they said, look, it's not going off, therefore,
I mean,
it's not emitting carbon. And that was...
I don't know if that's how that works.
It's not at all
how that
works.
Does it come from the energy supply?
Yes, that's exactly the contention here, is that you cause the electricity grid, whatever, the coal plants or whatever, to burn more to provide you with that electricity.
Yeah. Hmm.
And the coal plant puts out the carbon.
You mean CO2 doesn't come out of the computers? They're not like plants or like people?
It doesn't. But see, that's exactly what they tried to do. They pointed out, you see those plants over there? They're eating oxygen, basically. And you see this, where I'm breathing out carbon dioxide. I'm emitting carbon dioxide. And they put it on top of the PC and then, nope, nothing.
Guess they should have just done what Elon does and bought some carbon emissions from someone else or whatever.
Well, or they could just, I think I prefer proof of stake for this reason, and it's not worth getting into the differences between those. But there are alternative technologies to proof of work, which is the methodology that Bitcoin uses to substantiate itself and to prove that it's reliable. There are other methods of doing so, and I like proof of stake as one. I've seen some very successful proof of stake coins. I'm not going to get into what it is. It's mostly propaganda from people when they say that, oh, the proof of stake, you know, it doesn't work and it's never worked or whatever, because it has. There are proof of stake coins that have existed almost as long as Bitcoin. But they love saying that proof of stake doesn't have the reliability or doesn't have the length, the longevity that proof of work has, which is, again, what Bitcoin uses. And ultimately, that's a silly argument, because proof of work is older technology than proof of stake. So it's always going to have existed for a year longer or 2 years longer than proof of stake. So it's completely nonsense. It's just people set in their ways and coming up with justifications for it. But it's not a super interesting topic. What is? It's just funny to me that someone could be so clueless. Or it almost reminds me of Donald Trump, right? Like with this
like shooting up bleach?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's like
I don't think these people who made this video about Bitcoin miners and carbon, I don't think they really, I think they understand that what they did was stupid.
And you would think before somebody makes a video or any sort of public statement, they would do at least very minimal research.
Yeah, like, it seems more like a trick to me than...
You know, like, let me just make sure this is really how things work before I look like a complete idiot.
You would think so, but I saw another article while I was eating lunch earlier today, and it was from this person who was going viral on TikTok because they made a video where they were criticizing a pizza company. I think it it may have been Pizza Hut or Domino's or Papa John's. It was one of these. I don't remember which one. But anyway, they were heavily promoting recycling. And she makes this video, this 30-second, one-minute-long video, where she's just blasting them because it's irresponsible. You're asking us to do work for you, and how we can't recycle these, and you should know that. How does no one at your company know that we can't recycle these because they have pizza grease on them? And, 5 seconds of Googling would have made her aware that you can recycle them even with pizza grease on them.
Yeah, you totally can.
Yeah, but she, for some reason, thought that you couldn't. Maybe she heard that a long time ago, and she couldn't be bothered to research it or anything. So she makes this TikTok just going off on Papa John's or Domino's or whatever when there's no factual basis to it whatsoever. And the idiots in the comments don't know any better. Like, yeah, that's pretty messed up. They should have, you know, some sort of lining to prevent the grease buildup or whatever. It's like... Or you could Google it.
Yeah, I hate people that act... I don't hate them, but I can't stand when people act like they can't just Google a thing. It's like when Sarah calls us just to ask, like, what do you think are the benefits of some oil? And we're just like, why don't you just Google this?
Yeah, Sarah does that a lot. It's really peculiar to call a national radio show, as Sarah does. And like, well, what's going on with Ron DeSantis today? It's like... Well, I don't know, Sarah. You tell us. He's like, well, I don't know.
I don't
why
have a
are you calling?
It's
but
like
she does
the 80s.
Know, doesn't she?
Oh, I don't know.
I think her boyfriend Richard has a smartphone, or her enabler Richard. I don't know what you would call
it. It would make more sense to just go out on the on the street and walk around and ask people these questions. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Or buy a newspaper. That could even be
our newspaper. Yeah, they still make those.
That would be an entertaining video, though. Like just getting Sarah from New Mexico to walk around the street asking people their conversations, asking them their opinions on things. Well,
what do you think about road rage?
Yes. What do you think of it? Should we have another security camera?
How many times have you been hit by a car this year?
None, thankfully. And thankfully, at least Sarah hasn't been hit by a car either. And we took down her certificate. We had a certificate hanging over there, but it's still over there somewhere. 19 years as a pedestrian without being hit by a car. And that's impressive. In the news yesterday or Monday, it was Monday, we talked about NPR and Twitter. NPR was branded state-affiliated media at one point, and this suggested that they are affiliated with the American government. They have since changed that. Twitter changed it to government-funded media, which is still true. I would argue that they're closer to being state-affiliated media than they are government-funded, but it's 100% true. They are government-funded media. Like, that's a factually correct statement.
Yeah, I would say both things are true.
Yeah, I like state-affiliated more because it shows, like, don't take this with a grain of salt. It's what the American government wants you to think.
And that's what it is. It absolutely is state propaganda.
Right. I mean, if they can say it about RT, they can just as easily say it about NPR.
I would argue that both are you're both absolutely correct, and it should qualify as government affiliated media, government funded media. They're all one and the same realistically. But of course, NPR is not happy about this. And even the backward, the watered down one of government funded, I think is factually correct. I think they're both factually correct. Don't get me wrong, but we can prove that they're funded by the government.
So they're mad?
They are mad. They don't want to have that label on their Twitter.
But that's the truth.
It is the truth.
They're funded by the government.
And it's implied in their name. That's what's craziest to me. Are they just mad because most people are dumb enough to not really think about what those things mean?
I guess so.
Well, the amazing thing that I didn't know until I think it was Monday night that we talked about this was that NPR doesn't need to get their money from the government. Only like 10% of their income comes from the government. The rest is from, viewers like you and
so
people
Mark's
giving.
Said,
And I suspect Mark knows what he's talking about. Occasionally he does. And this seemed like something that he was correct about. But so they could cut the ties with the government. They just choose not to. NPR, that's the National Public Radio, is quitting Twitter after the social media platform owned by Elon Musk stamped NPR's account with labels the news organization says are intended to undermine its credibility. Now, I went to AP News for this. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I don't know how that would be what undermines their credibility. Like, your credibility is what undermines your credibility. Or lack thereof.
That's a really good point.
Well, like, the government you affiliate yourself is what undermines your credibility. Like, if it was a great government everybody could trust, then everybody wouldn't care that you were funded by it.
Yeah, I don't know that it's... Yeah, I don't think it has much to do with their credibility at all, because Russia Today says things that are true. And when they don't, they get called out on it. So NPR should just say things that are true, and then you don't have to worry about credibility if you speak the truth, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
I have the article here from AP News, and I have one from NPR. I want to sort of compare and contrast them, because AP News says NPR quits Twitter over government-funded label. NPR headline, of course, is NPR quits Twitter after being falsely labeled as state-affiliated media.
Wow.
So NPR is going all in saying that this is false.
So lying just in the headline.
Absolutely. So Twitter labeled NPR's main account last week as state-affiliated media, a term that is also used to identify media outlets controlled or heavily influenced by authoritarian governments such as Russia and China. But I don't think the authoritarian label has to even be put there. If they're controlled or influenced by any government, authoritarian or democratic, I think they should have that label put on their Twitter. That's only fair.
The United States government is authoritarian.
They are, but they're not authoritarian to the mainstream world. Mm. The U.S. government isn't authoritarian like China is authoritarian.
Mm.
And I think that's incorrect, but I sort of see where they're coming from. They're more autocratic, and they've confused autocracy with authoritarianism. So Twitter later changed the label to government-funded media, which, again, is a factually correct statement. But to NPR, which relies on government for a tiny fraction of its funding, it's still misleading. And again, apparently AP News is substantiating Mark's statement that they do get a tiny fraction of their money from the government. Well, then stop taking that money from the government. You don't have to take it.
Yeah.
So Twitter even tried to, like, they didn't like the original title, so they're like, okay, we'll compromise and we'll call you this other thing that seems less bad. And they're still upset about it. So Twitter went out of their way to change the label, and they're still unhappy.
Well, they went out of their way to take a dig at NPR, certainly.
Yeah.
I think they put the same label on New York Times, or they put a similar label on the New York Times. Or no, they took away New York Times' blue check mark was what it was.
Oh, really?
And so that triggered the New York Times.
Well, if you don't want to pay, then you shouldn't get it.
Well, the argument, I think, was that if you're prestigious enough and you have enough followers, you shouldn't have to pay for the blue check mark. And I sort of understand that.
So to me, I think the blue check mark just lost all of its credibility.
Oh yeah, it absolutely did.
What is the point of the blue check mark if I, who has 81 followers on Twitter, I can buy myself a blue check mark? So what is the point of the blue check mark? Because previously it was if you were a celebrity or somebody of notoriety.
It just means you're verified. If you wanted the blue check mark, you'd have to send in an ID and stuff.
But previously, to be verified, you had to be, like, somebody of somewhat importance.
And yeah, they wouldn't verify you.
It seems like that bar is getting lower and lower and lower. Like, you had to be the New York Times or some celebrity to even qualify for it.
They lowered the standards so much for getting that blue check mark a year or two ago that... I think I probably became qualified when I ran for sheriff and picked up a number of followers. I got up to like 2,000. I think that's probably still about where I'm hovering. And evidently, I've seen people with fewer followers than me, like 1,500, 1,400, with the blue check mark. And
I just remember just wanting it. Like, what does it change?
Well, originally, I believe the blue check mark came about because there were fake accounts, like celebrities were getting imposters, so there were fake accounts, so it was a way to differentiate between the real person or, like, the real company and fake pages.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if you're not somebody who is constantly getting fake Bonnie Freeman accounts, why would you want it? I've never been interested.
Yeah, I've never been. Well, it became a matter of prestige, right? If you were,
it's an ego thing.
Yes, it very much is, and that's why you see these people with like 1,400 followers and stuff having it, because as soon as they became even almost qualified, they clicked the button to get verified as quickly as they could because they just had to have it because it made them special. Stupid. When you go to a Twitter, someone's Twitter, and you see like 15 different comments from people, your eyes just naturally go to the one that has the blue check mark by it. And it sort of filters out the others as these are nobodies. But that blue check mark, that means something. And it still sort of did up until this year. And now when I see a blue check mark, I think absolutely nothing about it because they're a dime a dozen. You can literally pay Twitter to give you one. And Facebook has added verification to their thing as well. I don't know how meta verification works, but I assume it's exactly like Twitter. They saw Twitter doing it, and I said, "Man, you can sell your users' data and get them to pay you $8 a month. Yeah, sign us up. We're down." So they've added verification, but it's become so trivial and so meaningless that I don't know why anyone wants the blue check mark anyway. But this was true a year ago or 2 years ago when I first became aware of when I first really began using Twitter. It seemed nice, a goal for one to aspire to become enough of someone that you get the blue check mark. But then they started giving it to anyone. And this is why people like Stephen King refuse to ever pay for it, because it allows the common man to buy the prestige that they love.
I just think that's funny. I have never had such an ego that I've even, like, wanted the blue check mark. I think it's hilarious that people who worked their lives to get the blue check mark now have, you know, less of an ego trip when they get it or whatever.
True. Imagine wrapping all of your ego up in that blue check mark and be like, I'm verified on Twitter. And to be fair, I doubt very many people have done that, but I'm sure some have. And some people, they probably look, if you get into an argument with someone on Twitter, I suspect that if you do this with someone who has a blue check mark, they're going to be, by default, condescending towards you because you don't have that blue check mark.
I'm just grateful that anyone wants to follow me and read my musings.
That's a really good way to look at it. I don't think the blue check mark is important, but that was what happened in New York Times, and of course they got very upset about it because it, you know, took away from their prestige. And I don't know how to tell them this, but there's no prestige in that blue check mark anymore anyway, and there hasn't been for a very long time. Defund at NPR was Musk's... Hold on. It doesn't say NPR's tweet here. Hold on. NPR said in a statement Wednesday that it will no longer be active on Twitter because the platform is taking actions that undermine our credibility by falsely implying that we are not editorially independent. And then defund NPR was Musk's tweeted response. It's unclear whether that NPR statement we just read is actually their tweet. Because usually when you see this sort of sloppy journalism that's built around Twitter, because there's a lot of it, they include a screenshot of the tweet. Right? Immediately after they write a paragraph that contains what the tweet says, they will include a screenshot that says exactly that same thing. I don't know why they do it, but they do it. And this one doesn't have that screenshot, so it makes me think that's probably not the actual tweet. Anyway, defund NPR, Musk said, and I like that. I think we should defund NPR.
I think we should defund everything.
Exactly. The police, the FBI, everything, the military. Good Lord, defund the military. And they're going to approach $1 trillion budget soon?
Oh, I'm sure.
Even though they failed their audit last year.
Did they?
Yeah, well the Pentagon did. Sadly.
And this isn't the first time. There was a story a few years ago where the Pentagon had lost trillions.
No, they haven't passed in like 7 years, and they keep getting Fs. And they just go, this is just more motivation for us to try harder. Then next year they get an F.
And
like they lost trillions of dollars or whatever.
And they literally do. They lose trillions, if I remember correctly.
Well, and we've all heard the stories of the military having like $15,000 mugs that they purchase or the $30,000 stapler. It's just a way to...
Well, that's money laundering if I've ever heard it, right?
Absolutely.
They're not really spending $30,000 on a hammer or whatever. They're spending $9 on a hammer, and they're using the other $29,991 on hookers and cocaine.
Or whatever.
Or they're, you know, buying Bitcoin and trading it to someone in Colombia so that they bring cocaine to the United States. Or, far more likely, they're taking that money to Ukraine and slipping it into Zelensky's pocket to fund the war machine. I can't find it again, but I saw a news article earlier today that among the government leaks that we saw recently was information, like proof, that the United States military has troops actively in Ukraine fighting against Russia right now. And so does the United Kingdom. And I cannot find this article again.
I'm sure it was wiped clean from the internet.
But it was there, right? And, like, these leaked documents are there. This stuff has to come back out. Because I'm not at all surprised to hear that the U.S. government has boots on the ground in Ukraine. But they're not talking about it. They didn't admit it. But they're doing it. So Twitter, more than any of its rivals, has said its users come to it to keep track of current events. I would argue that's sort of true. That's one of the things I use Twitter for. I go to see what's trending
on
Twitter.
Ian definitely does. He gets lots of show prep on there. People just post it for him. He doesn't have to go, you know, like, to a news website.
I get most of my show prep from Drudge Report and from the Rational News Digest, which, for those who don't know, there's another word I'm forgetting. It's the Rational Something News Digest.
Yeah, I don't know that.
Anyway, it's run by Tom Knapp, who's an awesome libertarian. He does his own podcast called Napster, I believe it is. And he does excellent work. And he and a friend of his put together the Rational Review News Digest. That's what it is. So sign up. It's 50, 60 email pieces and articles and news pieces and opinion pieces every single day for free that they put together. And they editorialize some of the headlines in a way that's really, really, really good. Like, they don't write this, right? It's sort of like the Drudge Report. It's a newsletter full of what's happening. But instead of saying government loses $1 trillion and the Pentagon can't account for it, it'll say something like, bureaucrat boondoggle has predictable consequences as the headline. So there's a lot of awesome editorializing like that. Coming up, we are going to talk about Child Protective Services and medical treatments and whether or not, I really want to get into this, trans people are demons, according to this guy from Florida.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com, and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
USA News Update. Some of the dramatic 911 calls from Monday's mass shooting at a Louisville, Kentucky bank have been released.
Oh, my God, there's an active shooter there. Oh, my God. We might know the address. It's a broken point. Oh, my God, I just walked down it. Oh, I'm dead.
A prayer vigil for the five people who were killed in that shooting is underway. Tennessee Democrat Justin Pearson is headed back to the State House. The Shelby County Commission voted today to reappoint Pearson back to the seat he was removed from last week. Pearson and fellow Democrat Representative Justin Jones were expelled from the House by the GOP majority for leading a protest against gun violence on the floor of the chamber. Inflation is slowing down in the U.S. The latest Consumer Price Index report from the Labor Department says inflation slowed to 5% in March. That's down from February's 6%, with prices for both gas and groceries falling. John Schaefer, USA News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork. You know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live, where you are invited to take control of the airwaves. 603-283-6603 if you want to weigh in. That's 603-283-6160. With you in the studio tonight, it's Aria,
Nikki, and it's Bonnie.
And we're talking about NPR here and Twitter and how they're leaving. NPR is officially leaving Twitter. I don't know if I necessarily believe it or not, right? Like, NPR, I don't know how to tell you this, but you are not the first person I've ever seen threaten to leave Twitter.
And if NPR leaves, do they think, like, no one's going to tweet anymore? Like, that's just not going to happen. NPR's leaving, I'm out. No, that's not going to happen.
No.
At least not in a mass exodus.
Twitter? I mean, I can't think of a single person that would leave Twitter just because
of NPR, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think anyone else is going to follow suit, certainly.
Know? Stephen King has been saying he was going to leave forever and still is here.
Yeah, well, he's threatened to leave because he lost that prestige of the blue check mark, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I love Stephen King, and I love how he stands in support of so many of the things that I care about, right? He's not a libertarian at all, right? But on social issues, he's correct way more often than he's wrong.
Like, I just don't know much about him.
He's in full support of LGBTQ people. He's in full support of... Actually, that's the only example I can think of off the top of my head. I'm sure, I'm speculating here, I'm sure he opposes the drug war based on things he's written and said in the past, but I don't know that he's ever come out and explicitly said, in the drug war, or whatever. So he does have some good positions, but he's a writer, and I think he's probably lost his touch, but that's beside the point. I don't...
Does he
care?
Still write books? Like, now?
I think
oh,
so.
Oh, good Lord, yes. Too many books. And he's the only person I've ever seen, Family Guy, just absolutely nail a person on. Like, they caricaturize people in the same way that South Park does.
Yeah.
But Family Guy did a little cutaway featuring Stephen King talking to his publishers, and he pitched an idea, and the publisher was like, yeah, okay, whatever. Do you have any other ideas? And Stephen King goes, how about the story of the haunted bottle of water? And he starts holding up his bottle of water, except it was actually a lamp. I just happen to have a bottle of water in front of me. So it's like, the tale of the haunted lamp. And he's waving the guy's lamp around the office, and the guy goes, all right, when can you have it on my desk? And that's exactly what Stephen King does.
And it's Stephen King, so people will buy them. People will read them, you know?
They absolutely will. And it's...
I would totally want to quit while I was ahead if I had written so many, like, important novels that... Like, or, you know, like, household names. I wouldn't want to just put out a bunch of crap after that. That just seems so sad. Like, a rock star that's all old
Well, they can't all be zingers, right?
Yeah.
That's the kind of
song. If you thought it was going to be one thing, it'd be another thing if you were just like, this is crap, but gotta get it out anyway.
You know, yeah, it feels a little forced. And I think that about, like, some musicians, too. I'm like, like, Madonna. I'm like, girl.
Metallica.
Metallica. It's like, you should have just...
And
Paramore came out with a new album today. I haven't listened to it.
Oh,
but
really?
I might.
Mm-hmm. A year and a half ago, I saw Metallica for the first time in my life, and I got to be honest, they put on one of the better shows I've ever seen. But it was very structured. It felt like I was watching a performance more so than any of the other bands that I saw. It felt like this is a well rehearsed, no improvisation. We're just going to do what we've practiced, sort of show. Like, and it was good, and it was fantastic, and it was very well put together, and it all the better because they played the entirety of the Black Album, which was the very first rock album I ever heard. Like,
really?
Yeah. So that was, I never expected to hear any of those songs live, first of all, not to mention the entire album. Like, that was the very first rock album I ever had and ever heard, and I got to listen to Metallica play it.
Yeah, that's
all
awesome.
All of it. It was absolutely amazing.
Oh, the nostalgia.
But... then they released these new songs, and I don't remember what they're called now. It's some fake Latin thing, I think. And 72 Seasons is the name of the album. I don't remember.
I honestly haven't even listened to
it. It's not good.
Yeah.
And Metallica can't leave on a high note at this point. They can't. Godsmack is also quitting. They're like, look, this is our last album, and we're done. We've never released an album that was bad. All of our albums have been critically received well by fans, so this is it. We're done. Mm-hmm. So far, I got to be honest with you, based on what I've heard from Godsmack's new album, it's not good, so this may be the one that bombs. However, Metallica, they passed that. That ship has sailed. That ship sailed a long time ago with a little album called Saint Anger, which is... I don't know how... It sounds like it was recorded in a mini storage using one of those... using the microphone that came with a $12 Casio keyboard. It sounds absolutely terrible. And they knew it sounded terrible, but, you know, we're Metallica, so we're going to redefine the music industry.
Maybe they have, like, contracts and they just absolutely have to put something out. That would suck, but...
Not according to some kind of monster.
Well, and does that usually happen with musicians?
I don't think so.
Because I know,
I'm
like,
sure.
Sometimes with, like, authors, that's more of a thing, but I don't know. I've never really heard of that with musicians, but...
I have not either, but let's get to the phones. We do have David on the line from Georgia joining us. David, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, this Twitter thing with NPR, it's really just a non-story. The government-funded whatever label... It's all true, and they can just get over themselves like everybody else.
It's true that they're funded by the government, you mean?
Yeah, they have, what, 2 or 3% of their funding or something like that? If they don't want the label, then they could just not take the money.
Yeah, they could totally do a call to action and get their listeners like, listen, we stopped taking government money in, and we need a little more help. And they're like, people love doing that. People love giving money to NPR. Mark used to do it, and he's one of those people who's snobby.
Yeah, I don't even think it's necessary for them to do that. I mean, if they're only getting 2 or 3% of their money from the government, then just stop doing that. Fire 2 or 3% of your staff carry on.
I wonder how much that actually amounts to, because 2 or 3% could mean a lot. Like, that could be, you know, $500, or that could be $1 million. Like, I have no context of how much it actually costs to sure. fund NPR.
Well, so. Beyond that question, what business is it of the United States government to be funding media organizations?
Mm-hmm.
What part of the we're supposed to have a free press, right? Isn't that like within the First Amendment? The right to a free press? Well, we don't have a free press if the government is giving money to some press organizations and not others.
And if you're trying to justify taxation at all, the idea that, like, we need NPR when people are very capable of creating their own private media is just crazy. Like, why are you being stolen from? Well, to fund NPR.
And I think in a lot of ways that's what Twitter really is. And thank you so much for the call tonight, David. I think... Twitter is a grassroots news organization sort of thing where people can talk about what's happening in the world. They can offer their opinions on it, and they can do it in close to real time.
They saw it.
Yes, and it happens in close to real time, which you didn't get from NPR or anyone else. You don't have to wait for Free Talk Live to come on to hear our opinions on something. If we used Twitter frequently enough, you could just look us up on Twitter. And if you were curious what anyone had to say about it, you could look up on Twitter. Or you could get your opinions, you could just hear what random people that you've never met, what their opinions are on the subject, and that's how you could stay up to date on what's happening in the world and what people think about it. That's what Twitter sort of is. And the prestigious element of that blue check mark for NPR or New York Times or whatever is exactly that the both of you are swaying and it's making me crazy.
Sorry.
I'm drinking coffee.
Yeah, no, it's fine. My entire brain just started noticing, because you weren't doing it in sync, but I was like, okay, they're both swaying. Or maybe I'm the one swaying? I don't know.
Chatters hate that I do this.
Oh, yeah, I'm super fidgety as well, so I'm always, like, rocking back and forth. Yeah.
No, it's fine. I'm not asking you to stop by any means. I'm just saying, I lost my train of thought completely when my brain went, maybe they're not swaying. Maybe you're the one swaying, and that's why they seem to be. So.
Well, one thing I like about Twitter is the fact that you can get other people's opinion who aren't, you know, somebody who went to a specific college or somebody who got hired by a specific newspaper, because that doesn't matter to me. That just doesn't matter to me, and I'm glad that there's a way to break out of that.
Yeah, and you know what? I don't like the whole being in an echo chamber, like that sort of thing. Like, I don't just want to talk to people that I know agree with me. I like to follow a lot of different people, and it's nice to see the perspectives of people that disagree with me. And I try to be an open-minded person. Like, just because I have my mind set on something doesn't mean I'm unable to change my mind and, you know, try to learn more about something or get a different perspective.
That's one of the reasons that I still am on Facebook, even though I hate Facebook. It's like, Ian and I have had this conversation repeatedly where, like, I've made the point that I'm surrounded by people who disagree with me. Most of them aren't libertarians, and on Facebook you have a lot of older conservative types and fewer liberal types. And why do I stay there on this platform that is constantly suspending me? Because they suspend me. It's been a really long time since I ate a Facebook ban, but it used to be very common. When no one argues with me, and it's like specifically to avoid having an echo chamber. Like, if I just used our social media server at social.freetalklive.com, that would be great, and I would never have to worry about being censored because of my opinions. And I do love not being censored for my opinions, and I do love our social media server. However, I'm only reaching people who already agree with me if I do that. By using Facebook or Twitter or whatever other platform, I reach people who don't necessarily agree with me. And maybe they'll state their disagreement, and we can have a discussion, a civil discussion about those issues, in theory. And maybe that's how people have been using Twitter, because all of that people use it to keep track of current events made Twitter an attractive place for news outlets to share their stories and reinforce Twitter's moves to combat the spread of misinformation, which they didn't do. They were government funded, state affiliated at the height of COVID-19, and they probably still are to some extent, where they would basically flag anything the U.S. government didn't like as misinformation, not outright removing it from their platform. So they were absolutely state-affiliated media
themselves.
And they
didn't request, at least there's been no evidence that they requested, like, oh, okay, we'll take down anything talking about Ashley Biden's diary as long as you prove to us that it was fake. Nothing like that. They didn't ask for proof that these things were fake. They just listened to the government. They just said, okay, we'll take it down. So...
Yeah, they did. There's this whole saga called the Twitter Files, I think is what they're calling it, that is exactly of the Twitter collusion with the American government. Musk, however, despite all his flaws, I do like this particular aspect of Elon Musk. He has long expressed disdain for professional journalists and said that he wants to elevate the views and expertise, quote, of the average citizen. And I agree with that entirely. I much prefer the opinions of some random person over the opinions of the New York Times or NPR or whoever, because the average person, I don't know. I don't know why I value their opinions more. I guess because they're more relatable. I understand them.
And you don't know, or you don't absolutely know for sure that they are probably being influenced by the people who give them money, like you do with a journalist.
Yeah, you can assume that it's a genuine opinion. And I think a lot of the times we see like posts from the Washington Post or the New York Times, and it's easy to feel like that is the opinion of the majority. Sometimes, and I think a lot of people think that. They read articles and they're like, wow, everybody thinks like this.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's always true.
I like the Twitter Spaces edition thing that Elon Musk has done.
I haven't seen that, but I've seen that you've messed with us. So what exactly is Twitter Spaces? Because, again, I've never used it.
I never did it until I started working with Liberty Policy Alliance, which is Liberty Paul Ally on Twitter. And they will put on spaces where they host a quote-unquote space where lots of different like people's
like
profile pictures pop up. Not really, because anyone can talk, but it starts off with like only speakers, and you can request to be a speaker or you can stay a listener. Like yesterday, I listened to a debate between all these people from Liberty Policy Alliance are from, they used to do Young Americans for Liberty, and then they broke off. They broke off. Not all of them, like, one of them still works for Yale, but it's not like any hate against Yale, but they all thought, oh, I want to do this in my own way, and created Liberty Policy Alliance. So they had two people named Jacob, one who used to work for Yale and kind of became a socialist in a way. He called himself a libertarian, but everybody says he's kind of a socialist. Debate another guy named Jacob.
A socialist can be, well, no, they can't, but the libertarian socialists exist, but they're anarcho-communists, sorry.
Well, anyways, these two Jacobs debated, and then they put up a poll, which you could put a post attached to the spaces, so you listen to them debate, and then they put up a poll and said who won, and I got to vote for Torville because he believes in natural rights, and the other one believes that rights come from the government.
Oh, wow.
It was so crazy.
Yeah, he's part of Young Americans for Liberty, and he believes that rights come from the government?
Yeah.
Good Lord, that's scary.
It was a really interesting debate, though. What was interesting about it was, like, I just never heard somebody who thought like that. He's not a straight-up socialist. He believes in, like, gun rights and stuff like that. But he believes, like, we need a government or else we can't have rights because we can't defend our rights on our own. It's really silly. Like, I think it's wrong, but I followed him because
I've heard similar arguments to stuff like that before, so
I've heard the arguments, but I disagree with them.
Yeah.
This isn't a case of the chicken and the egg, right? This is very much a painter and painting sort of thing, right? Society created government, right, and government recognized rights, but the rights already existed. It reminds me of when I used to use Quora a lot, which was a platform that got taken over by leftists. It's not important. I used it a lot, though, and a lot of people loved making the case that governments produced societies, and that we couldn't have society without the government. Because I was one of the most viewed writers in anarchism, because I'm an anarchist, and
yeah,
you know, I'm pretty well versed in the philosophy. And I would consistently argue that, you know, we can have society just fine without the government. We don't need a government.
I would think it would be the reverse, right? I would think society came, like, society's what created government.
Probably, but whether it did or, well, I mean, by definition, I guess it did. But they would argue that government created society, and without society, without government, society would just fall apart. And it's sad that these people live in that world where they operate under these beliefs.
I mean, this guy from yesterday literally said slaves don't have rights. He said, technically, a slave, even though he ought to have rights, he doesn't because he can't assert his rights.
Well, being able to assert your rights is different from having the rights.
I think this guy's just confused. Maybe enough arguing with the other Jacob will put him on the right path.
And I think it's just like these like minor subtleties where people agree, and you know, the outright statement like you get your rights from the government sounds really harsh to us, but probably once you talk to this person a little more, you'll notice like, oh no, we might kind of believe some of the same things, but it's really just like those subtleties and when he might be like
wrong on the definition of right.
Definitely like wrong on the definition.
Because he thinks that a right is something that you ought to have. He believes in positive rights. He believes that there are rights that you ought to have and you need a government to defend you or give them to you, basically.
I never looked that closely into it. I've heard this before, this whole thing about positive rights, and I don't think negative rights was the inverse, but there was something else.
It is negative rights. Okay. Positive rights are like, we deserve health care. That's a right. And that is just a made-up BS thing. If you believe in positive rights, you believe in slavery, because you believe that
you can't have one of these positive rights without enslaving someone, right?
Right. You believe that you were born entitled to someone else's labor or the product of their labor.
Yeah.
That's slavery.
Okay, so positive rights aren't rights at all.
Yeah, it's not a right at all. Right is literally means what's right and wrong. You don't have to enumerate your rights because there's an infinite amount of things for you to do that's right. It's right for me to set this on the table. It's wrong for Nikki to slap it on my hand and say I'm not allowed to set it on the table, so I have the right to set it on the table. There's an infinite number of rights I have. All you need to know is negative rights. I do not have the right to steal from you. To rape someone.
Okay, so negative rights is what you do not have the right to do?
Right.
Okay. Well, there's an infinite number of those as well, or possibly infinite number as well. Like, just as you use the example of smacking the mug out of your hand, or maybe she'll kick the mug, or push the mug off the table, or smack your head. Like, there's an infinite number of ways that she could respond to that.
I have the right to have that not happen. That's basically what it is.
No, yeah. I get where you're coming from.
And I think they could be lumped into, because like you're saying there's an infinite amount of the negative rights as well, but if you probably lump them into, and I haven't really thought about this enough or tested it, but I would think if you lumped them into broad enough categories, like you don't have the right to aggression,
You don't have the right to aggress against others.
Yeah,
is effectively what it all boils down to.
Another one that I think is a great boil down is theft. Theft, it almost covers all of it. Like, you might think that doesn't make sense, but murder is taking of someone's life. Rape is taking of someone's sexuality without asking them, taking of their time, even. And going on someone's property when they're not inviting you is, you know, taking their sense of security. It's almost all, like, theft.
Well, I mean, even if all you take is, like, the molecules of dirt on your feet, you're still taking something without permission in the subject of trespassing. And I don't think you should incarcerate someone or otherwise punish them for, give me back my 6 molecules of dirt or whatever. But it remains true that you violated them in some way by treating their property without due respect. Hmm. And I think property rights are a natural extension of these natural rights. So this is where anarcho-communists, what they call libertarian socialists, and the rest of us libertarians, this is where we have our great big divergent point. Because I argue that property rights necessarily extend from these other negative rights. Where if this is my water bottle, not because I say it is, but because you can't take it from me without using aggression to take it from me, or some means of fraud or deceit or whatever. If you wait until I look away and then stab it, you're still using a fraud or deceit or whatever.
Yep.
I don't know. There's probably a better word for that than deceit, but it is sort of deceitful. Anyway, you can't take it from me without using aggression. And that's what makes it my property.
Mm-hmm.
If you have to use aggression to take it from me, then it's mine.
And I also just think it's yours because you own your body, first and foremost. And since you own your body, you own your labor that paid for the water bottle. And
very true.
Therefore, it's yours. I agree with both.
And then all of these things go back to like, okay, well, what... At some point, who made the first claim? Because someone could come along and say, no, that was my bottle of water, and Aria took it for me. And at that point, we sort of have to trace it back to see who the actual most rightful original owner of the thing
was.
Yeah,
you have to get to the truth.
Right. And that, but still, at the end of the day, somewhere along the lines, aggression occurred.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we can boil all of this down to negative rights are you have the right to not aggress against others and to have others not aggress against you. Or, as Christ would say, do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Yep. Yep.
Which worked for thousands of years until governments got involved. Well, until the state got involved. And I would love to see us go back to that. So we're talking about PBS here and NPR, and the public broadcasting service, apparently PBS, has also stopped using Twitter, presumably because they got the same label slapped on them. I don't know.
I'm sure they did.
They should have, because they are...
Public.
Yeah.
Well, they probably get more funding from the government than NPR does.
I don't know.
I would think. I don't actually know.
Because they're television instead of radio?
I was
Because I was actually surprised about how little NPR got from the government. I thought it was much more.
I just don't think that the U.S. government has any business being in the business of taking money from me and giving it to media organizations that spew propaganda that I don't agree with. Look, I spew my own propaganda, okay? I don't need PBS and NPR to do it for me.
And it's not out of people's reach. It'd be one thing if this was like the, you know, the 30s, and it's like, it's just totally out of the average person's reach to have a media program. We need a public media program, but it's free to have a Twitter. And most people have smartphones. It's affordable to have smartphones and computers nowadays. It's not necessary at all to have a public media program.
No, but it seems like it should be necessary. If I contacted NPR and said, hey, I'm Aria DeMezzo, I'm a taxpayer, I want a show on NPR. It seems like they should have to say, okay, fine, here's your time slot. In the same way that you get with, like, public access television, where you show up and you have your 30 minutes to do your stupid little infomercial or whatever that four people watch. That, to me, as terrible as that would be, it's still fairer. And I think that's what NPR and PBS should be if they're going to exist.
Well, and I tried to make that argument with the hospitals firing people for not getting vaccinated, because the hospitals, all state hospitals, typically accept a large amount of their budget comes from the state. So people were saying, well, it's a private company. If they want to fire you for being unvaccinated, they can. And I made the argument, well, they're accepting money from the state money and federal money. So, are they really a private company?
I would argue they are not. Nope. So, PBS says Twitter's simplistic label leaves the inaccurate impression that PBS is wholly funded by the federal government. So, would they be less upset if it said in part funded by the American government? Because I don't think they would be less upset by that, even though that would still be a true statement. They didn't say it was wholly funded by the American government. PBS put that word in there. Twitter didn't. But they're upset at Twitter about it. Coming up, we're going to be talking about Guantanamo Bay and DeSantis and how he tortured people there, as well as whether or not trans people are imps and demons, according to this legislator. It's all very strange.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there's some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about extreme weather, the alarming increase in man-made disasters, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare. And the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their popular 3-month emergency food kit. They include tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners with over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on your 3-month supply at MyPatriotSupply.com. Too many Americans are being let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we're going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.